Inner Talk Podcast. We'll know topic is off limits. Now here's your host, Mind Daddy, and Void a Soul. Thank you for coming to the Inner Podcast. Boom, talk, boom.
The professional, not me. Are we recording? Are we live? Holy shit, we're live, Boulevardia. My name's Ryan Wester. This is Neander Talk Podcast, the hardest podcast in Kansas City, and I got one of the hardest rappers, musicians locally, semi-locally. Yeah. I guess you spent some time in Chicago. We got... Go ahead, introduce yourself, Flair.
Yeah, what up? My name is Flair the Rebel. Appreciate being on the podcast, and I'm excited about being at Boulevardia at the same time, too.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you get selected to be a guest on my podcast?
Well, someone thought I was cool enough to sit next to you.
That don't take much. I'm not that cool.
You know, I just got asked that question. So, for those that aren't here, I'm rocking this amazing Boulevardia fanny pack. And while I was purchasing it, someone was like, oh, are you Flair the Rebel? And I was like, yeah, because my name's on the T-shirt, you know? That's like the exciting thing about when you're on a festival, your name gets on a T-shirt. And
dang.
So she had asked me, how did I get on Boulevardia? And that was an interesting question because it was like, well, I did not apply. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, well, I did my thing in the scene for a while. I had a couple badass shows. I did network, you know, and I was invited to be. So
boom,
here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Do I got a name on my T-shirt?
Yo, what up? Is your name on the T-shirt?
Yeah, is it just musical artists? Did any of us lowly podcasters get on that shirt?
I didn't see your name
on
the T-shirt.
I quit. I'm done. Podcast over. We're not starting this back up until I get on a T-shirt.
Yes, yes.
Well, you're definitely cool enough to sit next to me. You got some style. You got some swag.
Thank you.
I love the glasses.
Thank you.
The outfit you got. You're definitely an artist and performer.
I appreciate that, man. You got some swagger yourself.
I'm trying. I'm 43 and single. Slide in these DMs, ladies. Holla at your boy.
How about you,
Flair? You got a lady or are you?
He put it out there. I do. I got a ring on it.
Oh, he's got a ring.
But you know what? You want to know the cool thing is my wife is the bass player in my band.
Dang. That's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Lauren Williams.
Dangerous.
She's a badass bass player. She also plays hockey, stand-up bass and electric bass. She's way cooler than me, man.
She's not from here then, yeah?
She's not.
You're not going to find, let alone any dudes playing hockey around here, finding a girl that would play hockey.
Right, right, right. She hails from the D.C., Maryland area. We met in Chicago, Chi-Town. You mentioned I was up there for a while. And, she's a big hockey advocate. Got me into it. I'm a big hockey fan, too, now. So more than just... You know, Royals and Chiefs for me. I'm also repping the Capitals.
The Caps?
Yeah.
All right. I was born and raised in Michigan, so.
Okay.
Let's go Red Wings.
Yeah, yeah.
Hockey town.
You know, that's a classic team right there.
The original six.
Right. Unlike what just happened in the Stanley Cup, you got a Florida team and a Vegas team. Like, I don't even know what that's about.
All right. The hottest places in North America playing for the Stanley Cup. It's pretty wild.
And, right.
Yeah, Vegas got it.
They got it, you know. But, I mean, that's got to be an amazing place to win a championship because then you just party in Vegas right afterwards.
I was there for the series before against Dallas.
Yeah.
So the series right before the championship game, I was out there. It was also the same time during the Heat. So I made a little bit of money betting the Heat and betting Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is – Miami got bumped. They both teams, Heat and the Florida Panthers, went to the championship and got knocked out. But, you know, I don't care because my Chiefs are still champions.
Hey, Chiefs guy. You got to be a Chiefs guy, I guess.
Of course.
If you're from here. All right, so let me get this straight. I know very little about you. So you are from Kansas City and then moved to Chicago?
Yeah, I grew up in Kansas City. I moved to Chicago after high school. I went through Kansas City Public Schools, first grade through 12th, graduated from Lincoln College Prep, went to Chi-Town for college, Columbia College, Chicago, fell in love with it, stayed up there. The music really popped off I mean, it started in Kansas City. That's the thing about
it. Did your music start in Kansas City?
Yeah, the music started in Kansas City. So I've always been Flair the Rebel, but my former band was called Anti-Crew. And so we got notoriety in high school for being just young, underage cats that were still rocking venues.
Take it off, be a little more comfortable. There we go. There we go. Why didn't anybody tell us? There we go. That's better.
Oh, it just got real.
My neck was hurting, cranking, looking at you. Sorry to mean to cut you off. Go on with your...
Yeah. So we started in Kansas City, and I remember, you know, I'm a big baseball person, too, and I had to drop out my senior year of varsity baseball because I wanted to drop an album. I needed to capitalize on the in-house fan base
of high school.
Okay, the reason why I couldn't do both is during practice, you know, I'd be, you know, calling out for the ball, doing this, doing that, and I would get home and my voice would be shot. And then I couldn't record. So it was like one or the other. And the funny thing is, at the time, I had gotten the newspaper, KC Star, for performing at the Hurricane, which then became the Riot Room, which is now Tin Roof. And we got shout-outs for being like this underage group that was performing at the Hurricane. We couldn't even stay there after our show.
Oh, you guys were kids doing this.
Yeah, we were kids doing this. And the same time, a couple of my high school friends got in the paper for just being amazing baseball players. And I was like, I'm in the paper for music, for rapping, not baseball. I think that's a sign.
What's harder to make it in, baseball or rap?
Ask Nelly, because he got invited to do both, right?
Yeah, but he just did like some celebrity games, right?
No, I hear that he was actually being like looked at.
No,
that's
Nelly?
What somebody told me, yeah. I really think that's true.
I don't, man. I'm going to check my sources
okay.
on that.
All right. We're on a
no
podcast.
Way.
You know, we don't be giving out fake news.
That's
check
all
the
my
sources.
Podcast is fake news. So.
Listen, somebody check that. Hit up the podcast and let us know if that is true or not. But for the record, I would say it's probably more difficult to be a Major League Baseball player.
I mean, I guess you have to kind of be born with it. Competition is probably the same, though. Might be harder as far as, like, how many people are entering, like, playing in that arena.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is comparable.
But damn, there's a lot of rappers, but especially here in Kansas City. I bet you right now I could throw my wallet and probably hit three different rappers.
Yeah. I just think the difference is, I mean, age is still relevant in music, but you could still have longevity after, you know, 30, after late 20s. You know what I'm saying? I feel like with sports, there's a very, like, specific time you have to capitalize on. I don't think that's the same with music.
No, you're right about that. There is a window you got to capitalize on, your young 20s.
Yeah.
You know, up until, you know, I guess they say kind of 30.
Yeah.
You kind of start breaking down.
But let's not get it twisted. Like, there's a lot of athletes that try to rap, try to do the other music thing, and most of them are not good.
Shaquille O'Neal, let's go Diesel.
You know, listen, it's not like I was ever a fan of his music, but I think he's one of the better ones. Like, I honestly think he's probably one of the better ones.
I got to think about that.
Like, he actually has a song with, like, Method Man and Redman. It's like, I mean,
the GOATs.
You know, he's got a little bit more talent than, like, your average, you know, athlete trying to rap.
All right, speaking of Method Man and Wu-Tang Clan, I read something that you shared the stage or worked with RZA.
Yeah, I got to open up for RZA in Chicago. So like I mentioned with the band Anti-Crew, we started here, really popped off in Chicago, started opening up for some acts, and the RZA was one of the ones I opened for.
Did you get to meet him and hang out and smoke up with him or anything?
I did not. You know, I said hi to him backstage. He was doing his own thing. And he looked at me, and he just said, "What up, kid?"
What else is he supposed to do?
Listen, RZA. I'm a Wu-Tang, like, fan through and through, and that's, like, the god right there. You know what I'm saying? So I just took it as, like, yeah, man, like, you don't know me for a can of paint. Like, you are RZA. But I have opened up for other people way less popular, way less legit than RZA that have been just complete assholes, you know?
I mean, you open this can up.
Yeah.
Name some names. Who are we talking about?
Oh, man, I don't want no beef.
Come on. I told you right before we started. Yeah, I'll start some beef.
I don't want no beef.
I'll go with some beef now.
No, I don't even.
Where's my burger?
I don't even mind it. Because I got nothing but respect for
the game.
Can I make
one guess?
For everyone that does it. Yes, you can.
I'm making one guess. And you have to, if I get it right, you have to tell me.
Okay.
You're
going to guess out of all of the musicians in the world. That's why.
Yeah,
I would definitely
have
to tell you.
You definitely have to tell me yes because there's so many to pick from. Mac Lethal.
No, Mac Lethal's cool as shit.
Shit. That is not what I heard.
No. I told you I came up in the scene as a kid. Like, I was a part of that scene. Like, we were doing shows with Mac Lethal.
How old are you?
36.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're not.
Yeah, I'm not like a young. I know I'm rocking the fanny pack in the way that you said the young kids do, but.
You're in that middle. You're not
old. I'm a millennial. I'm not a Gen Z.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Mac Lethal's cool as shit. So he actually taught me. He had this thing. He's very anti being on stage and saying, like, make some noise. You know, he was like, you're on stage, you make the noise. And the crowd feeds off of that. I respected that.
All right. I can get down with that. I don't like it either. It's cheaper. People, like, let's pretend there's more than one person out here watching. That would be the thing that says, you know, who's here for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Who's them?
Thank you, guys.
It worked.
Yeah, see?
It worked.
Okay, it's the cheapest trick in Kansas City.
Just
it is. Say Chiefs and you're going to get some love.
Chiefs. It's a beautiful thing.
So I understand where he's coming from with that. Just
why
get cheap?
He is.
Cheap claps, all that stuff.
But anyway, so I'm not going to put the person's name on blast, but I'll describe the situation.
All right, that's cool.
So I was backstage at Reggie's in Chicago, and that was a venue that was not too far from Columbia College Chicago, and we were the opening band. And obviously we're performing, so we have a backstage pass, right? And so we opened and we killed it. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, it was a really, really dope show.
Nice.
And I was excited to meet these cats. And so I walk up there.
Which cats
and
were you excited
see,
to meet?
You're trying to catch me. And I extended my hand. And first of all, like, he looked at security, not even me, and was like, what are they doing back here?
Whoa.
Like, I don't know. I'm opening for you. And I extended my hand just to say what up. And he gave me the most, like, limp handshake. It just, like, it was like a more of a swat than, like, a handshake. And I was like, fuck this.
I like the move. I think I'm going to start using it.
Okay, fast forward. Same venue. We opened up for Nappy Roots. Way bigger than this other band. Nappy Roots was cool as shit. Kicked it. Hung out. Showed love. You know? I'm like, why would you be like that?
I guess insecurity.
Yes. Nailed
you
it.
You know, they see some suave dude that's got some dope-ass glasses. He's got his swag going. He's ready to open for him. He knew who you were.
He knew you were opening for him.
Like, how do you not know who's opening for you?
I mean, I imagine you could be a certain level that you wouldn't know. But like
the RZA, maybe.
Yes, like the what up, kid.
Yeah.
But we were all backstage together with the same passes, with the same, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, in the SWAT handshake, I was like, ah, man.
Damn.
Ah, man, I was a fan of that. I was a fan, too. And I was like, man.
But not now?
No, I don't listen to that music. But no one does because, like.
Well, good. Karma.
Yeah, karma.
Treat people like that. Good luck. You know, he's probably treating his fans not the way an artist should be treating their fans if they're trying to get.
You got to respect the fans, you know, and especially because you never know when people will or won't show up, right? Like, you could be top of the world, but you don't know how long it's going to last, you know? When we used to go on tour, you know, sometimes we would have 100 people. Sometimes we'd have 5 people. It's a crapshoot, you know, especially when you go in a market that's never heard of you before. And me and my bass player at the time, we would just look at each other. And we would say, wow the fuck out. Because we were going to perform like there was 100 people no matter what. And guess what? Those 5 people had an amazing time.
Yeah, not only that, but you probably gained 5 fans for life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they see you like, yo, and they're just waiting for you to blow up and be like, I was there. I was one of the 5 people there.
Right.
And they get to ride with you. You develop real ride or die people.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're putting it all out there. Like,
yeah.
That's what a real performer does.
Respect the people that show up to watch you, that stand there. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it ain't for them, like, who are you? Who are we? You know?
Yeah. So speaking of, like, showing up and respecting the people that are showing up there for you, and I think you probably already indirectly mentioned this when you said that you're married to, what, the bass player? Or
Lauren Williams.
Shout out to her. Nice. Our
rock,
one
rocking the Jamiroquai t-shirt.
Nice.
Yeah.
You so you play with a live band every time you perform?
I have on occasion not done the whole band, but it was like a drug. Once I did it, I was hooked.
With the real band?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I mean, you know, hip hop is birthed out of like being resourceful. So it's like a microphone, a DJ, sampling, you do what you do. That's the core of it. I respect people that can hold it down with just an MC and a DJ. And I could and I have. But once I got that live band, never went back.
I like that. I like that because you can't lean on a crutch.
You can't.
So I'm assuming that when you have a live band, they're actually playing the instrument.
Yes.
And you're actually singing.
Yes.
You're not performing over your vocals.
No, I'm rapping. And I mean, listen, I do see some performers that I think it's okay. Maybe you have a part in the chorus or something where you have your own vocals pipe in, but people that just rap over their entire song, I can't stand it. I can't stand
Thank you.
I can't stand it.
You wouldn't believe how many, I guess, polite discussions I've had with rapper. You know, I try to interview quite a few rappers. I'm a hip-hop head.
Yeah.
And so many of and it seems not necessarily just the younger ones, but a lot of the younger generation, that's what they do. So like, yeah. I'm rapping over my lyrics because they tell me because it's not the 90s anymore. I'm like, what does that have to do with
what
anything?
What does that mean?
It just means you're an old man and you don't know what you're talking about. Shut up.
No.
I know.
Because we will always be able to outperform them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I trust me. I know. I'm on that. I'm on that level where I think, why am I going to pay money to see you to just basically lip sync to your Spotify list?
Yeah.
Like, I can listen to that in my car. It's going to sound better than this club.
And the thing about it is, like, I know people that have seen bad hip hop shows and they're just like, oh, that's just not my thing. And I'm like, you haven't seen a good one. You haven't seen The Roots. You haven't seen Wu-Tang. You haven't seen Redman and Method Man. You know what I'm saying? You haven't seen people that put on a show.
Not even that. I mean, you named a lot of legends, but there are legit, like, I don't care what city you're in. You've got a local scene.
Oh, yeah.
And there are legit local rappers that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
But they straight kill it.
Yeah.
And the only reason why you haven't heard of them is because they just didn't get lucky. Like, right. How much in the music industry is just about getting lucky?
Yeah.
Performing at the right show at the right time or just the right person happened to be seeing you. It's like, I'm gonna take a chance on this guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the game has changed, right? I mean, you talked about getting on stage and just rapping your song. I feel like that's all they know. Like, they were in their basement. They were whatever. They did a thing. It went viral. And, like, good for them. You know what I'm saying? But, like, there's a difference between...
Or they were in their hot tub.
Whatever works.
Island boy. Just an island boy.
Listen, whatever works.
Trying to make it. What do you think? I got a spot in your band?
You know. You could.
Your
you
wife
could,
says yes, I'm in.
You could intro the band.
All right.
But, there's just a difference between someone that can actually perform versus someone that just, you know, puts something together in the studio. And I'll respect both crafts because it's not easy. But once it gets on stage, it's a different thing entirely. You know, you have to be able to put on a show. You got to connect with the crowd. You got to do things live. You got to be a performer.
What sets you apart when you're performing live than some of the other artists you're going to see besides a live band and actually singing your stuff or rapping
stuff? Yeah, like rapping. Well, I mean, maybe that's a difference, you know, having a live band with a hip-hop group. That, you know, that's not the norm, I don't think. But, you know, we tend to go back and forth between songs that have a powerful meaning, you know, on the conscious or political tip, and then now we're just going to party. You know, and I feel like it happens in almost like a seamless way.
Now you're just gonna what? Party?
Party. Yeah. Like we'll go back and forth in a way that works. Like we'll talk to you, we'll give you a message, and then we'll just straight kick it. You know? And then we'll come back to the message and then just kick it again. And I feel like it kind of blends.
It's a real roller coaster of emotions there.
Yes.
I'm getting angry and partying all at the same time.
No, I mean, well, for 1 second, we're talking about, you know, just being on a patio and drinking rosé all day. And
I like
and,
that song.
And then we're talking about the intersectionality of gun violence.
Child's play.
Yeah, yeah. So we're all over the map. But I think in a way that takes people on a journey and hopefully doesn't isolate people, but I think it brings people in to have a good time, even though we have a message.
I can see how this day and age it could definitely isolate some people.
I mean, listen, it will.
But that's not a bad thing, necessarily. You're just weeding out the people that aren't going to like your shit anyways.
Right. I mean, I once had someone be like, oh, you shouldn't say, like, the political stuff because you'll, like, lose some fans. And I was like, maybe I wasn't after those fans.
Exactly. You might not want the NRA toting.
No, I actually
card
don't.
Card toting guy buying your stuff.
No.
I
mean,
don't want you.
I mean,
I want the blue-haired liberal.
If they did buy it, I'd be like, okay, maybe now we can have a conversation, right? Because I'm also not like, I mean, when it comes to my show, I'm probably preaching to the choir for the most part. But in life, you need to actually find some connectivity. You need to build some bridges. Some people you got to cut off. Like, that's just the way it is. But, yeah, I don't know. If someone picked up my music, was on that other side of the political realm, I'd be like, all right, listen and let's chat.
How many chats do you have with those people? Does that ever happen after a show or maybe not even after a show, but someone that just happened to stumble across your music and listen to the song Child's Play? And they're like, yo, I got a few issues with you. Like, maybe it's not that they don't care about you. Maybe it's that they just care more about free speech and the Constitution and their beliefs on that side of the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that happen?
It's rare. Where it has happened the most is on, like, social media. You know, I'll make a post. They'll start to understand the lyric of a song, and someone will take the time to DM me. And 'cause that's the thing is, like, I'll converse. I'm not going to get on this, like, troll fest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will just ignore that in a second. But I've had situations where someone that, you know, maybe was a friend of a friend or knew me through some, you know, just sent me a message and like, I'll go as far as it goes. Now, back in, like, college, I used to, like, just fight with people on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just a waste of time. Yeah. I don't do that anymore.
That's Facebook. That's all Facebook's for.
Yeah, yeah.
That's don't probably do that where it all happened, too, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Facebook is so toxic. So toxic. I love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I would be on social media if not for my music, if I'm just being real with you.
I hear you. I'm the same way. If it wasn't for this stupid podcast and trying to grow it that way.
Right, right. Hey, man, it's not stupid. I like it.
You know what I mean. Yeah, I appreciate you. So as far as, like I was saying earlier, it's hard to get in the rap game, the music game in general. Other than social media, or is it primarily soul mission? Like, what do you do as an artist to get your name out there, to get fans, to get people to buy your music, or just to stream it, or to show up to a show? Like,
yeah,
what do you do this day and age? Like, what are you trying to do?
Well, I think the main thing is what we talked about is when you put on a show, right? Have people leave with something to talk about. Give them a reason to tell a friend. Give them a reason to come back. Because I often, you know, sometimes might get underestimated. You know, I mean, I know I'm over here looking swagged out right now in Boulevardia, but, you know, my day-to-day, I might not always just, like, look like a rapper. You know what I mean? So some people might come to my show and be like, yo, this dude raps? And I'm like, yeah, you know? And so give them something that captivates them to bring them back. I will say it's more than that these days. It is unfortunately social media. And don't get me wrong, like, I do love when I put together an Insta reel or some type of content and it does well, you know, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
It's a whole nother job. It's a whole nother part of what you probably didn't sign up for or think that you had to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I was like, oh, I want a podcast. What am I good at? I'm good at podcasting and talking to people.
Yeah.
But I don't know marketing for anything. I barely know how to use social media. Like, I'm talking to social media experts where they say, oh, just post multiple times a day, every day. I'm like, do you know?
But
like,
I don't even think that's a good idea.
I'm a social media person. I'm not a podcaster.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's you have to be like your own multimedia company to do anything these days, because you have to take advantage of social media. So, I mean, it's a gift and a curse. I mean, it really did level the playing field for a lot of people, right? But at the same time, I don't know. It's like when I'm on stage, I'm okay with performing. When I'm at a bar, I'm just me. Do you know? But now it's like everyone's putting on a show, and that is not authentic.
Unless you're just a nonstop showy kind of guy.
Those people don't have any friends. No real friends.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Who are, so we were looking at kind of like the negative side with beef, people slapping your hand away and being divas. What are like some amazing experiences that you've had, like going on tours?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see here. Well, opening up for Chance.
It doesn't even have to be anybody that's like a big name. Just like, what's dope about touring and doing this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, like, open up for Chance the Rapper a long time ago before he blew up was really, really dope. But he was big, you know what I'm saying? He just wasn't as big as he is now. And he was cool as shit. You know, being on tour, it's like, what up, Kadesh? See my homie Kadesh Flow in the back. He's going to be rocking with us on stage with the trombone.
Trombone.
Yeah, yeah. We don't normally have horns. That's what I'm so excited about.
Damn.
We're bringing horns to Boulevardia on the Flair the Rebel set for the first time. All right. Back to the question at hand. Yo, yo.
Lou Rip in
Lou
the
Rip
house.
In the building.
Yeah.
Or in the field, you
what
know.
Up,
it's love, man. See, these are the cats that I came up in the scene with. I mean, that
I
dude
know,
got
Lou.
Bar for days.
Hello, Lou. Mokes. Shout out, Mokes.
Yeah, so.
Where's Daniel Lucid Flows at?
Lucid used to, I mean, yeah, Lucid's the crew. That's the homie, too.
That's the homie. That's the homie.
Yeah. So, I mean, being on tour is it's so much fun. You know, you're connected with people. I love being in new experiences, new environments. I think one of the craziest things is you just never know what's going to happen. We had a show in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, Flint, man. Don't drink the water.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things still going down with that in Flint. It's really unfortunate and racist, but whatever. We had a show in Flint, Michigan. We didn't expect much of it. No one in Flint knows us. I didn't know anything about Flint, Michigan. Our tour van broke down on the way there, so we were all in a foul mood.
The story checks out, everybody. Michigan is full of potholes.
We had to get the tow truck, towed us to the venue. And we got to the venue, and the stage was so small, we couldn't fit the drummer on it. The drummer just had to be off the stage.
And
so,
drum? Drum off stage?
Yeah, he just, I mean, it was a very, it's not like the stage was super elevated, but anyway, so we're just in a foul mood, you know what I'm saying? Car broke down, venue doesn't look like it can hold us. And then suddenly that place packed wall to wall, and the people were just thirsty for something fun and exciting. I mean, they were there to have a good time, and so were we. And we rocked out. And I remember, like, I crowd surfed. Like,
no,
you gotta understand that this isn't a stage that I can jump off of. It was more of I put my hands in the air, and they just started picking me up.
Wow.
You know, and like, I mean, Flint,
were
Michigan was amazing.
What was it like? Why were you performing while they were carrying you across? You know, just like bah, 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 bah.
I don't think so. I can't remember for sure. But
yeah,
like,
all right. For now on, you did.
For now on, yes.
I was spitting mad bars. They were. I was crowd surfing and still going hard.
Yeah, and the bar was so close to the stage. The owner was just like feeding us like shots and tall boys the whole time. And I actually, it's rare that I perform with anything. I usually don't drink until after the show. That was a different experience though.
Are you performing here at Boulevard? Oh yeah, when are you performing here?
So we are performing Saturday, 5:45, the Quirk Terrace stage.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're on tomorrow.
I'll be here.
Hell yeah, man.
I don't know. I have a podcast tomorrow at 4 or 5.
Well.
But either way, I should be able to make it.
Fit us in. We're kind of off in the cut. So the fountain stage is there, and then you go up the stairs and to the left. Then we got this little party zone over there.
Right. Okay, so you don't know how you got booked as a guest on the best podcast in Kansas City, the Undertalk podcast.
Okay.
But how did you get booked to perform here?
Yeah, I mean, they reached out. So Chris Harrigan, you know, he does so much for the music scene, booking really dope shows, connecting with artists. He's the one that reached out, and we said yes, you know. And I think Chris knew who we were. We've been doing our thing in the scene for a while. We had a really dope show at Nighthawk, which he helped book. I think he saw us hold it down there. Center Cut Records and Patrick Sprahe, you know, I believe they kind of like vouched for us last year or early on. And little by little, it took us a minute to get here, but we're here. You know, I used to come to Boulevardia as a fan. I'm still here coming as a fan. But it's really a privilege and an honor to be here as a performing artist, too.
I bet. I'm super honored to be here for the podcast stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine how, just because like we said earlier, there's a million rappers in Kansas City, and to get chosen because of your skill and people seeing you to come out here and be able to perform, that's got to be pretty.
That means a lot, and you got to respect it. You got to respect the people that respect you.
And Boulevard, when I think of Kansas City and beer, it's always Boulevard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing,
that behind you, that's pretty sweet.
I mean, Boulevard's been holding down the scene for so long, you know, and this really is like a beer city. I mean, I know it's a barbecue town, you know what I'm saying? But like,
you gotta wash that barbecue down with
something. It's a beer city, you know, because if you got Boulevard, but then you have so many other ones, you know, one of my favorites is you ever get down to Brewery Imperial in the Crossroads?
Oh, yeah.
The biscuit that they got there is amazing.
The biscuit, I get their chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Casual Animal, that's like one of the dopest vibes, you know. But listen, man, Boulevard, we're on the Quirk stage. I'm drinking a wheat right now. Space Camper is probably my favorite beer.
I just crushed a couple Space Campers. I need another one.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're feeling it then.
Well,
it's not like a Tank 7. I mean, it's still up there. But
it's not. You're not talking to a drinking rookie here. All right, I get down.
Got you. Okay. All right.
I'm just warming up. I need a couple more to even get the tingles. You know, there's little tingles. I need them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need a couple shots, but these were free.
These were free. That's what happens when you have a podcast. You get drink tickets.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Is that why you did this? Is that why you're on you started a podcast for the drink tickets?
I'm not going to say no.
Okay.
It's a big part of it. That and I knew we were going to have a crowd like this.
Yes, all these amazing people.
Shout out to all you guys out there that showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at them all. This guy up front.
What up?
This guy in the back.
Start waving at people. Hey! Rocking the purple Charlie Hustle shirt.
He's popping dead center.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you must be waiting to do the podcast next. Are you the next guest? Yeah, he's the next one to go.
He said no. He's just hanging out. He's just hanging out. Well, I mean, I wish you would have been here 40 minutes earlier. Well, I don't know how long we've been on.
How long have we been going? Feels about 5 minutes. That's only 25.
He asked what the podcast is about. I'm gonna let you drop that song.
What my podcast is about in general, I'm the Joe Rogan of Kansas City. I've got scientists on, rappers on, comics on, chefs on, local celebrities. Yeah, you name it. I have over 200 episodes. Whatever you're into, I got an episode for you. I guarantee it. Huh? Golf? Fuck, he got me. You got me. I don't even have frisbee golf.
There's some crazy things going on with golf. The Saudis just like bought the PGA Tour or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, did you pay attention to that shit? So like just a few months
not
ago.
Not really.
A
not,
few months
I mean,
ago, the Saudis created the LIV Tour.
The LIV Tour.
And they're paying millions of dollars to these people. Just we're buying all the talent we can. And then certain people are like, mm-hmm. Like, nah, fuck that. Mm-hmm. We know what you guys did to 9/11. We, you know,
yeah,
you
got,
and then the PGA boss, whoever's like the commissioner of that, basically was like, yeah, if you go over there, you're supporting terrorism and Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So don't go there.
Right.
And so people are like, all right, we won't. Cut to 4 or 5 months later, the same guy was like, oh, yeah, we're taking their money and we're joining them.
Yeah, yeah.
The hypocrisy. Like just selling your soul.
I mean, but it's like scary. Like, could someone just buy the NBA?
Yeah. Oh,
just
yeah.
Just do what they want with it?
Well,
they
bought, I think they just bought the WWE also, right?
Really?
I believe so.
See, he asked us to talk about golf. And it happened.
We turned to wrestling. And we talked to golf about golf. How was I pretty right? I had my facts mostly. I'm close enough. I'm close enough. I don't have my guy here to Google it for me on the fly.
Well, you said that, you know, there's fake news on this podcast occasionally, so.
It's unintended fake news. I would never lie on purpose. I don't make stuff up. I just tell you what I think is real or what I think I know. But I could be wrong.
Right. Yeah, sure. You could be wrong. I could be wrong. This guy could be wrong. Although I feel like he's always right.
No, that guy's not wrong. That guy, he knows what's up. He looks like a golfer. Looks like a scratch golfer. Are you? So you were a baseball guy.
Yes.
You were a golf?
No. I got talked into doing like a, what do you call it, a scramble or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not. It was a team of four. I was the third worst, you know, so at least I wasn't the worst. I went to Topgolf the day before, and they were like, what are your goals? And I said, I just want to show up and look like it's not my first time. And I was successful at that, but that was the first and maybe last time that I would be on the green or whatever it is.
Golf, it's the hardest game in the world. Nobody's good at golf.
No.
You spend a ton of money and time on it.
I don't know. Is this guy good at golf?
No, nobody's good at golf.
Oh, he said he's better than me. Shots fired. I mean, he might be.
Can you break 100? Can you break 100?
No, we were just talking about how I was the third worst, but it was a team of four, so I just didn't get in last place. Yeah, it
That's
was a scramble.
He's a scramble guy.
I'm a scramble guy.
Scramble, yeah, you're the scramble guy.
Man, they're getting like intense. They'll kick your ass and golf.
Oh,
you
guys, you
hear
that's
me?
Fine. That's fine. And I was gonna talk shit like I think we could just kick their ass, but even that, I don't think so. Look at those guys; they'll fuck us up.
Yeah. I'm
scared.
I don't know.
Security. We got some dangerous golfers here.
Yes, the golf crew is here. There goes the town.
Golf
there goes
crew
the neighborhood.
Is real.
Oh, no, we appreciate it.
But a big Flair the Rebel fan, are you? No, he doesn't. No, he's,
he's like, where is this Flair the Rebel, you say? Are you going to be here tomorrow? Are any of you all going to be here tomorrow? You got to golf tomorrow.
Of course you do.
Of course.
A scramble.
Of course. Okay.
A two-man scramble, is that a thing? Maybe we just call that best shot or something.
Well,
like
I'm inviting you tomorrow. I mean, probably cost you $55, but you're invited.
I bet somebody could give you a free ticket. Wink, wink.
All right.
Wanted to come and see, but you got to see Flair the Rebel.
Yeah. 5:45 tomorrow. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. It is a live hip hop band, live instrumentation. No.
The legend. We did go to WWE. We're talking to okay, so you're talking about, like, can you believe that they bought them?
Yeah.
And I believe that the PGA guy sold his soul to Saudi
Arabia. I mean,
that
was the definition of selling out, right?
It is. And I would think everybody has a price. Everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
What would your price be if the Saudis came to you? Or somebody that you're – well, the NRA. I'm assuming you're not pro-NRA.
Right. No.
NRA says, look, Flair, we like your song. We get it. We're on the same page. We need to do something about this gun violence.
Right.
We're going to give you this – what amount of money would it take for the NRA to buy you?
Listen, everybody has a price. But the soul is priceless.
Sell that soul, son.
So it ain't happening.
No?
It ain't happening. No.
I never, ever, ever believe that.
No, because
everybody's got a price.
I got to live with myself.
You can live with yourself.
He said $5 million.
$5 million? That's a cheap soul.
He said $5 million.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like I said, we all have our price. You're a bargain, sir.
$500,000.
He went from $5 million to $500,000 real quick. What do you have to pay for that you need that little?
No, I couldn't do it, man. I mean, I know it's easy to say now because no one has offered me $5 to $10 million, but no, I wouldn't.
Again,
do it.
Only 5 to 10. I mean, if you're selling your soul, aim high, like
a billion,
like penthouse wherever you want. You got a giant yacht. You got private jets. Like, sell your soul.
Okay. I got it. I got it. I have my answer.
Okay.
All right. Now, if we can look at how much the NRA is worth, right?
Oh.
Extrapolate by how much they bring in annually times 10, then I would have enough money to just shut them down. I'll do it.
Damn, that's a good answer.
Math.
That's a good answer. Math always wins. Science always wins.
I play 5:45 tomorrow. I know. It's during your scramble when you're playing golf. Here, can I give you something? Can I give you my card? And then you can scan this and listen to my music.
Oh, look at that.
Absolutely.
And there's mine just to follow my podcast. You don't ever have to listen to it. Just follow it and give me that download number. I just want followers. I don't care.
It unfortunately matters. Yeah.
You'll like it.
What's your name?
I'm Jesse.
Jesse, I'm Jeff. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Jesse. Enjoy your golf game. Enjoy your beer. Everybody is. That's where the whole point is. Like, I believe everybody is bad at golf.
I like playing golf. I play with guys that are much better than me all the time.
Yeah.
I like doing it.
Yeah.
I was a frisbee golfer. I took it way too seriously. I thought it could be pro. I was traveling all over the country playing in tournaments, just spending my days smoking weed and throwing frisbees. It's not a bad life. You know what? Now that I say it out loud like that,
it might be something to that.
I think I might have to go back to just doing nothing but smoking weed and throwing frisbees.
Right, right. I mean, if that makes
you
happy.
It's a lot cheaper than ball golf. It is a little healthier.
It is completely cheaper.
I don't think Saudi Arabia is going to buy out frisbee golf anytime soon.
No,
souls are going to always be intact.
We'll be good. We won't have to worry about that.
Live disc golf.
Oh, my gosh.
Just play in the desert.
We can shut that down now. So when do you think Jamiroquai is going to play Boulevardia? Her favorite band, the bass player of Flavor Rebel, Will Williams.
Is that a band? I thought it was just a dude.
No, it's a band, Jamiroquai.
But it is that dude.
I mean, there is a dude. Take care, man.
But
appreciate y'all.
But the dude that's like everybody thinks of, like he's kind of funky looking, right?
Yeah, yeah. But
not in a bad way, but it's kind of like his thing. Like, I look funky. I'm Jamiroquai. Like, he's got a funny name to go with it. It's all about, you know, putting that out there, like standing out.
Yes. I mean, they do a great job of standing out. That's for sure. We saw them at Coachella, a.k.a. Baychella, because it was when Beyonce was headlining.
Who are your favorite artists to watch perform, if you're big into that?
Ooh, I mean, seeing Wu-Tang when every member is there is incredible. I mean, now it's impossible because ODB is dead, but, like, his, like, son steps in, which is incredible. So Wu-Tang, when you had the full crew, is incredible. Group Love, you know, they had that song Tongue Tied. I'm a huge fan of
that. How does that one go?
Meet me at your best friend's house.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They put on a show. I mean, like, and they go back and forth with the male and the female vocalists, and they just kill it. Really big into Phoenix. You know, I get into that, like, you know, alt synth rock. Sylvan Esso, she comes to Kansas City every once in a while. Redman and Method Man probably put on the best performance I've ever seen.
Really?
Oh, they killed it.
I love those. Method Man is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, yeah. Another one I got a shout-out is J. Cole, because I remember seeing him tour, and in Chicago, like, you know, he was big, but before he blew up to this level. And he had such a, I mean, you connected with him. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's difficult, especially with rap, because it could just go over people's heads. But he connected with the fans, with the artists, and you felt like you were there with him. It was a unique experience.
So being 36 and rapping and doing shows at a very young age, where did that come from? Like, who were you listening to? Like, who was inspiring you? Like, what made you even want to try and start it? Like, were there any artists out there? Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, you know,
origin story, if you will.
Origin story. All right. Well, we got to go back to Brooklyn because that's where I was actually born.
Dang.
Yeah. So
where Brooklyn at? Brooklyn at?
Book. So yeah, I was born in Brooklyn, and but I was raised in Kansas City, and I moved to Kansas City when I was like 3 years old, right? So all I've really known is Kansas City. but I had two older brothers, obviously my mom, my dad, and it was like being raised in Kansas City by a family of New Yorkers, and so I didn't say pop, I said soda. I didn't say tennis shoes, I said sneakers. You know what I'm saying? And New York hip-hop was just the core of everything that I was, right? And so, you know, growing up in the early 90s, you know, gangster rap was a huge thing.
The golden era.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, that was dope, but, like, I was still just connected to New York, right? And, you know, A Tribe Called Quest, well, we've mentioned Wu-Tang a couple of times, De La Soul, Jay-Z. And so moving forward, when I got to the time where I was, like, buying my own albums, the most influential was probably Common, Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Pharoah Monch, and then Atmosphere, you know, hailing from Minneapolis. Different from all the other cats that I just named, but those were my...
How did you fall into that?
Atmosphere, man, somebody
just
made...
just so random.
Yeah, somebody made me, burn me like a mix CD, you know?
Oh, sure. That's how it happened back then.
Yeah, that's how it happened back then, yeah.
That's how you found new music. Friend through a friend, or you found a cassette or a CD underneath.
Yep.
A C, and popped it in.
There it was, and I listened to the song, and then I went to... Okay, so in KCPS, Kansas Public Schools, maybe this happens in other places, where I was at Lincoln, and I failed Spanish class. And so I had to, like, go to summer school to bring my grade up.
Over Spanish class, you had to go to summer school?
Yes.
Damn, that's dirty, because that's like an elective.
I mean.
You should have to go to
and you think I'd be fluent?
For an elective.
I'm not. I wish I could speak a second language.
Oh, I took years of Spanish. I speak, like, six words. I just had a cute little Mexican gal that sat in front of me, and I, like, started flirting with her.
Didn't work?
No, it did work. Oh, okay, that's why I failed, because she did all the work for me, gave me all the answers. It was great. I got all A's in Spanish. I can say, like, ¿Dónde está?
Yeah, teléfono.
That's it.
¿Dónde está biblioteca?
Exactly. Where's the library?
See, it's embarrassing, because you go to other countries, and then especially the beautiful immigrant population here, they know multiple languages. Yeah. We don't. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not, I don't know. Anyway, I can get into that. I wish I knew Spanish. I didn't learn it, but I failed, had to go to summer school. But then they were, like, giving you an incentive to go to summer school, so they gave me, like, a Visa gift card or something.
They they paid for bought your soul.
Yeah. So then I went to Sam Goody. You know, that's not around anymore.
Nope.
And my whole thing is, when I get free money, I spend it on something I wouldn't normally spend it on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I just heard this, you know, this group Atmosphere, and I got this. I didn't expect to have this money. I'm going to buy this album. It was God Loves Ugly. And I was just enthralled. I mean, just the lyricism. I mean, and that was like, you know, emo backpack rap. And I think emo rap is like a whole different thing now, but...
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It was poetry. It just connected me, and so I don't know. Been following him for a minute.
What would I every time I say that you're a rapper or call you a rapper, something part of my brain is like, is that correct? Because you do rap, you do some rapping, but then you're also with a live band.
Yeah.
And when I'm listening to your music, it doesn't scream rap to me. It's different, not in a bad way. It's got a different vibe. It's a vibe.
Sure.
Like your music is definitely a vibe.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like to refer to myself as an MC. You know, I think most hip hop heads, that's a different level, you know, than just a rapper. But I don't know. I think it depends on what your definition of rap is. You know, back in the day, I used to be very like, this is like real hip hop and this is not. I'm no longer like that. You know, rap and hip-hop is a very broad term, I believe.
Right.
And at the end of the day, like, technically, yes, I rap. But, you know, I think we bring so many different elements to our performance that I think that's the vibe of what you're referring to, that it's just a little bit different. It's got something else to it. And I want to – my hat's off to the amazing musicians and producers I get to work with that help bring that out of me, you know?
I really like – your production and a lot of your songs, like some of the edits, if you will, it just you got like different clips from like different political speakers, or you got like different, like where it sounds like it's a radio DJ, like you were just playing on the radio.
Yeah.
And then there's like other different like little edits that you wouldn't think, just like a quick little snippet from something that just kind of pops in there when it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, is that you, or is that your producers doing that? Like, where's all that coming from? Like, how much influence do you have on like the total sound?
So those things that you're describing originates with like me and my brain, but then I have to rely on amazing producers and sound engineers that can actually bring that out, you know? So you referenced like the EP Some Are You, Some Are Me. That's the one where it's like, it sounds like you're listening to the radio, right?
Yeah.
So that was my idea, and I'm the DJ. So that is me. It sounds very different, but then I work with people that's like, this is what I want to do, make it sound this good. And so so I want to shout some people out. So The Belief Cycle, they did a lot of production on that. Bob Pulliam is in a lot of production. And then Matt Peters, he's helped me on the sound engineer tip. And that dude's a pro. I mean, he does stuff with, like, Strange Music. So I've had the benefit of connecting with people that know what they're doing.
Nice. I love that. Yeah, I've heard that name. I don't know him, but I've heard that name. It's a big name around here.
Yeah.
Are you signed with anybody, a major label or any kind of label?
Nah, man, just doing it myself.
Would you ever want to be signed, or do you like being the independent route?
I mean, I would sign if it made sense, you know, but record companies are shady, so sometimes you got to be careful. But if it makes sense, it makes sense, you know?
Do you have a seven-year plan or goal, like where you want to be in the next like 7 years? You'll be like 40. You'll be about my age. Don't laugh. I'm 43 years young.
I'm
young.
I mean, I'll take it as far as it allows me. You know, I mean, I'm looking forward to being back at Boulevardia in the future. So I hope that they have me back. You know, and we're on the Quirk stage now. Maybe we'll be on a bigger stage the next time we come through. It's been a long time since I've toured. I want to tour again.
Nice.
So that'll be fun. That's how I look at goals. It's like, what do I want to experience, and how do I get there?
Do you have any goals of like venues that you want to perform at, or artists you want to work with?
I mean, the artists I want to work with are all over the place. You know what I mean? But I'll just shout out some local ones. Like, I think Hembry and the Greeting Committee are amazing. Making Movies. So those are three that, you know, I've seen live, I've connected with, and I would love to do music with them, or even just, you know, open for them. But, you know, outside of that, venues, the Truman is pretty dope. I've seen some really dope shows there, and that's a venue I haven't rocked yet, so I'd put that on there.
Nice. All right, so we're about to wrap it up here. Tell all the millions of people out here and my listeners listening at home, like, how the best way people can find you, like, what platform do you want people to kind of find you at or listen to you? Is it Spotify? Is it iTunes? Is it Instagram? Like, what's your jam? Like, where do you want people to come find you at? Like, go ahead.
I mean, Insta's my main platform. So, Flare the Rebel, FLARETHA, Rebel. All of my music is on Spotify. Most of my music is on Apple Music. So you could hear me on both of those platforms. But connect with me on Instagram. I would love that. I would appreciate that. Followers are very valuable these days, you know. But, man, let's connect. And, you know, more than just following someone on Instagram, like, come to a show. Let's meet in person.
Yeah, 100%. That's what it's about. Thank you for listening. Thank you, tuning in. This is Neander Talk Podcast. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. This was Boulevardia. What a beautiful time to be live. We are out of here. Bye.
Now we gotta do a selfie, right?
Leave me the fuck alone. Neanderthal, hardest podcast in the world, you stupid ass bitch.